Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Darren Beatty joins us with a very important analysis connecting the attempted and possible color revolution with what we're seeing in our country. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Darren Beatty is here. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Has this election cycle gotten you stressed out, worn down? If so, time to bounce back. What's the number one mineral to fight stress and fatigue? Magnesium. Before I even signed Bio-Optimizers, by the way, I have to tell you, I've been using magnesium before I go to sleep every night. It totally works. It's amazing. And there's no bad side effects. You wake up with so much energy. I want you to try a new dietary supplement of veggie capsules with me called Magnesium Breakthrough from my friends of the show, Bio-Optimizers. This is the magnesium supplement I recommend because it combines all 7 essential forms of magnesium into one convenient daily dosage. Most magnesium supplements fail because they are not full spectrum. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, so many functions in your body can get upgraded. The supplements are designed to enhance focus, sleep, reduce inflammation, and improve your body's reaction to stress. It's really worked for me, so check out Magnesium Breakthrough with me. Take 2 pills a day with your evening meal, and you can reverse magnesium deficiency in all of its forms. Use promo code KIRK10 for 10% off any order. Go to biooptimizers.com/Kirk. That's biooptimizers.com/Kirk. Then use the promo code KIRK10 to apply the discount. And welcome to the show, Darren Beatty.
Thanks for having me.
So you were calling early for a potential color revolution against President Trump. You said that, not calling for it, but you were trying to expose it. You were saying that this might be happening. Did we see it in a different way in this voter fraud, cutting of corners, the big theft? Right.
Well, we saw it in a somewhat modified fashion. And so, as I mentioned in the last time we talked, color revolution has 2 chief characteristics. The first characteristic is a engineered contested election scenario, and the second is massive mobilized protests and demonstrations. The bottom line here is we were guaranteed to have a contested election scenario with mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots were sure to open up the door for all kinds of weird irregularities, fraud, everything like that. Where the color revolution would really come into play is if Trump is actually successful in overturning this steal, then they will say that Trump is a usurper, he's illegitimate, and then they'll vamp up the framework that they use in Eastern European countries by saying he's an authoritarian, we need to take to the streets and so forth. So what the stage that we're at now is simply a fraudulent election, what looks to be the case. With severe irregularities in a number of states, which you've been pointing out very forcefully and very effectively. So I'd want to congratulate you on your efforts there. But it looks like just, you know, your typical steal that was engineered in the according to the machine politics of various municipalities of the United States. But if we're successful, if we win, if our efforts to expose this steal prove successful and Trump is inaugurated, that's when you're going to see the color revolution take effect.
So you tweeted on November 4th, time for the president to see this, when you were talking about the regime change. I'm making the comparison that what they were willing to do to execute a color revolution is very similar to what they probably pulled off in some of these cities, unless we expose them and we're able to overturn some of these results. You are actually a mathematician, if I'm not mistaken, right? You have a background in mathematics. Can you build out the mathematical impossibility of what the media is telling us here? Because I feel that we have not talked enough about the statistical modeling, how impossible it is that Joe Biden allegedly achieved what they say he did.
Right. Well, on that issue, I mean, that would require, someone very familiar with the actual numbers. And while I've paid, attention to the various states, I don't feel qualified to address the numbers specifically. But I think people, your audience are curious about this. I think the populist pundit, Richard Barris, has done a very good job, very conversant with the numbers of laying out a case for fraud, really. There's no other way to put it. In these various states, they're so suspicious. And I think in a way, like it's important to drill down on the actual numbers. And, every day I'm getting a new case for, some statistician here, some statistician there. I think at this point, the case for fraud is fairly dispositive. And now it's just a question of whether the people in position to do so will do the right thing. That's really the issue, whether the state governments, the respective state legislatures will do the right thing and refuse to certify unless it's clear that the election was actually legitimate.
And it's looking increasingly like it was illegitimate. And so, Yes. And so looking at this, and you run revolver.news, I want to encourage everyone to check that out for one of your primary news sources, revolver.news. Looking at this through your lens, through a strategically thinking, at what are the next steps that are needed for President Trump and his team? What do you think needs to be done? A lot of people watch this program, a lot of people that have a lot of influence. What steps do you think need to be taken in what sequence in order to achieve a second term for President Trump at this point?
Well, I think they need to have a strategy in each individual state. I think message discipline is very important. And I think at this stage, it really is important to understand that the mechanism by which the president formally becomes president first requires certification at the state level. Then they have to seat electors. Then the electors vote in December. And then that is ratified by the House of Representatives. So you have to tell yourself a narrative. How does Trump get to 270? How does he get to Inauguration Day? And really focus on every single step necessary toward that end. And Revolver.news and I and many others have been saying a crucial aspect of this is understanding that it's actually the state legislatures that seat electors. And I think that's profound leverage that actually the states are not using to great effect, which is actually disappointing because many of these states are Republican controlled.
It's not surprising, though. Weak Republicans seem to be, something that is far too common. It does seem, though, that Republicans are the only shot that we have to actually get a second term of President Trump, especially considering the stakes of all of this. It does. The Democrats are not acting like winners. The left, they're not acting in a former fashion as if they won this election. Joe Biden just relaunched his donation portal. You and I have been around many elections where it's pretty well known that you lost, it's over. This has felt so artificial, so forced, so right. Quick they're creating lists of enemies almost instantaneously. Can right. you help unpack what we can learn from how the left has responded from this and also some action steps of how we can pressure state legislatures?
Well, look, what you see is a highly coordinated effort here. And months ago, they preceded this narrative that there would be something like a red mirage, but the mail-in ballots would, overcome the difference. They've seeded these narratives, and they prepared for a case in which Trump actually was the winner. Then they have a contested scenario, and that would be the color revolution. So that's the case in which we actually get Trump to the inauguration. But I think, we really need to be sober and honest about the fact when we question the legitimacy of Joe Biden as president-elect, to question the legitimacy of Joe Biden's election is to question the legitimacy of America's democratic system as such. You can't separate the two. Mm. And if we continue to have elections along these lines, and again, a lot of the work needs to be done by Republicans because they're frankly screw-ups at the state level in many of these states that allowed this to happen. We knew there would be something like this down the pipeline simply by nature of the mail-in ballots. Bill, you know, A.G. Barr, of whom I've been critical, he correctly stated this is unprecedented. It's bound to result in controversy. And so if we continue to have elections like this, where there's like a nominal election on election day, and then you just indefinitely count mail-in ballots with no authentication, no, you know, signature due diligence, nothing, we're in a sham democracy. And so I think there's a partisan dimension of this, because Joe Biden and the Democrats did, you know, it looks like, steal this election. But I think there's a transpartisan aspect as well, is that if we continue to have elections along the lines of what we just saw, it's not just Biden's legitimacy, it's legitimacy of the American system.
Yes.
That's at stake here.
Let me tell you about Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranchers from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed beef, finished beef delivered straight to your door. Don't forget that shipping is always free and the taste is always delicious. GoodRanchers.com, 100% American beef, chicken, and more. Support American ranchers and support the American economy. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered straight to your door. Visit GoodRanchers.com to find the perfect package for your family. Get the good stuff with Good Ranchers. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. Don't forget, home delivery is always free. GoodRanchers.com delivers your favorite meals right to your door. Go to GoodRanchers.com to view all their American beef and chicken packages. Use the promo code Charlie to save $20 off your purchase. That's GoodRanchers.com right now, and use the promo code Charlie and save $20 off for a limited time only. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. You had the Chamber of Commerce come out today, and they said, sit down and shut up, Trump. You lost. You know, open the borders. Get us our visas back. You know, give us our power back. Do it quickly or else we're going to punish you. What they don't realize, and maybe they just don't care, is that there might not be a country to even make products in very soon. Is that this is how countries disintegrate, is that the ties that bind us together are actually a lot more fragile than what people realize. One of those is pretty obvious, which is, do you have a government that you consent to? Do you have a government that actually has representative, you know, either democratic institutions through a republic? But the most important thing is this, and this is what happens in the banana republic, when they just don't believe the results of the election, don't be surprised when all of a sudden decent people that have a lot to lose start getting mad and very angry and very rebellious. And then all of a sudden things start going in a sequence that no one wants to live through. Can you talk about how high stakes this actually is? Because I feel that some people that are commenting on this just think this is about an election. It's actually much bigger than that.
Right. Well, look, I mean, the stakes don't get any higher than the very status of the United States as a nominally free country in which we hold democratic elections. I mean, the left has paid lip service to the importance of this status by, you know, the Washington Post's own moniker, where, you know, democracy dies in darkness. All of the enemies of democracy have consistently invoked democracy as a pretext to destroy our democracy. That's an important thing to understand.
Yes.
And I think the notion that America is a democracy, a free country, and, you know, frankly, we drill down and ask whether that's really the case. But even if it's an illusion, the illusion is more important to the functioning of the United States than it is to other countries. The idea of ourselves is somehow a real democracy. Once that disintegrates, whether it's a reality or an illusion, you have a lot of problems down the pipeline, because it was so instrumental to our own self-concept of who we are as Americans and what America is as a country relative to others on the world stage. So I think what we can see is, you know, with Donald Trump's presidency, you saw the delegitimization of the media. We've seen the delegitimization of these institutions that many conservatives are typically favorably disposed to. The national security state, the FBI, all these other organizations that I think a lot of good conservatives say, these are great organizations. They should be. and they feel so betrayed because of the corruption that's been exposed. This is another delegitimization in a long line of cases in which the illusions that underpin our countries have been exposed. Our country has been exposed. And I think that's a very dangerous thing.
That is such a good point. What hasn't been delegitimized in the last decade? Corporate America has been delegitimized.
Right.
Professional sports.
Right.
Our government, our legal institutions. And what you're saying, Darren, I completely agree with this, is that the country can only endure so much delegitimization until there's a spiral of events that has an unlimited amount of casualty or byproduct that really no one wants to live through that. The question is then, what is the remedy? Right. And so the remedy would be a second term of President Trump. But what else do you see in an even bigger picture than that? How do you fix this almost erosion of the civilization?
Right. Well, I think, you know, the delegitimization is a double-edged sword. It's, you know, it's profoundly enervating from a kind of national strength standpoint. But in some ways, the clarification is a positive thing from the point of view of patriots, who at least know that they're getting screwed. They at least know what the scam is. And having a clear picture of what's actually going on, who your friends are and who your enemies are, at least positions you to strategize going forward. I think one thing we really need to focus on, and you've been good on this, is if we don't have a free and open internet, if we don't have some type of a distribution channel for information, we have no shot. And there are certain things that could happen irrespective of whether Trump is inaugurated. I've been pushing really hard for the confirmation of Nathan Symington to the FCC, and he's been a strong advocate of open internet, free internet. But those are the sorts of things we're going to have to focus on and really get down, do strategy assessment, and say, how do we preserve open distribution channels for information? Because as we've seen, censorship has been part of this coup. It's inconceivable that you look at the president's timeline on Twitter and like 5 out of 7 tweets of his are censored by Twitter. And the idea that you have a president of the United States who he can't silence Twitter, he can't censor Twitter, Twitter can censor him, that is a very dangerous position to be in for this country where the media has that kind of power. And the media really arrogates to itself the power to decide the president because Joe Biden is the president-elect ostensibly because the media said so. And so this is a very dangerous development. People complain about a state-controlled media like in dictatorships, but actually what we have is arguably worse and more sinister. We don't have a state-controlled media. We have a media-controlled state.
That's exactly right.
And unless we really have a robust and fearless and effective strategy to address that problem, we're going to be in for a very, very dystopian 21st century.
You remember when money used to seem so simple? The global economy has become so complex, it makes the average investor freeze and do nothing. I believe in seeking wise financial counsel and not being controlled by fear. Let's say you have an old 401k sitting dormant and looking for a home. With new currencies and pandemic threats, there's never been a more logical time to ensure that your 401k is properly protected. For free advice on how to win with precious metals in an IRA, I trust the friends of the show, Noble Gold. Gold and silver are easy to buy and sell, plus they can be extremely enjoyable to collect. Home delivery of gold and silver coins make getting started easy. If you're open to talk to an analyst about intelligent options that fit your lifestyle, pick up the phone now and call Noble Gold. I use Noble Gold for my gold needs, and you should too. NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Well, and the way that this is headed, and you've played a big role in this, and Tucker's played a big role in this, is that we, you know, in the conservative kind of programming, and there's nothing incorrect about this, I still hold this sort of skepticism, but we were only skeptical of government power, right? Government spying on you, government taking your weapons. I still hold those beliefs. But there was never any conversation at all whatsoever of the concentration of corporate power. It was like, stop, you know, don't mention that. They're on our team no matter what. And now we're at a moment where the corporate power is actually way more creepy way more technologically sophisticated and far more unchecked than the government power. You know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people will listen to this conversation. Unless somebody in Menlo Park pushes a button and that just disappears.
Exactly.
Now, if the Federal Bureau of Investigation walked into your room or my room right now and arrested us because they didn't like what we were saying, we would have to comply in the moment, but then we could countersue, probably win a lot of money, and they'd have to give us a reason as to why we're being arrested. We have a Bill of Rights with our government. At times it could be clumsy, it could be messy, but it's still there. It's enforceable, right? And say what you want, we still have a pretty good justice system in that sense. There is no rights with Silicon Valley. None. Nothing. We have no Bill of Rights. We have no rights to due process. We have no representation. Instead, if you dare even question it, then you have your whole life ruined.
Right.
And so, Darren, I want you to comment on it's bad enough that the Menlo Park people existed, but now the Menlo Park, you know, robber barons are now going to be given unfettered access to our government if Joe Biden puts his hand up and actually gets sworn in as president. We are now going to be talking about something that's actually even more dangerous than what we saw in the early 1900s, because what we saw in the early 1900s was J.P. Morgan, you know, John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, and they had far too much corporate power. And I think Teddy Roosevelt actually deserves a lot of credit. Some conservatives think I'm nuts by saying this, but I think they're wrong, because he made sure that the transition from the farms to the factories was not one that resulted in the Russian Revolution, which was bad for everyone. He actually preserved some form or fashion of American capitalism. But the problem is that now you're going to see the multi-trillion dollar corporations and the multi-trillion dollar government become one. Talk about how dangerous that is.
Well, I think it's extremely dangerous, and I think you make an absolutely important point here. It's, you know, it's a very important insight to understand that, you know, really this distinction between the private and public sector doesn't really exist at the highest levels. When you look at how you know, a major corporation like Google is so intertwined with the government. And I think it's also important at a level of something like Google and the federal government, these are so monolithic that actually you need to think about networks within. And so the, you know, Google is very much connected to networks within our government, within our national security apparatus. Any country, any company at Google's level is going to, you know, do contracts with the federal government and so forth. And so I think, like, when you get to the top of the power structure in the country, this distinction between public and private doesn't really exist in practice. It's all just kind of one kind of ruling structure that exists.
Exactly right.
And people flow from government back to, you know, Google and back and forth. In fact, one of the kind of underreported stories of how we got to this position where the internet of 2015 doesn't exist now is a lot of the people, the veterans from Obama's State Department, rolled over into the trust and safety boards of the respective tech companies. And now we're in a situation where you may have seen this, your viewers should absolutely be aware of this. A man called Rick Stengel, who identified himself as Obama's chief propagandist in the State Department, and who has called for a reimagining of the First Amendment so as to make hate speech illegal. And of course, they would consider this conversation to be hate speech, I guarantee. And so the Rick Stengel, Obama's chief propagandist who wants to reimagine the First Amendment, he's now on Biden's transition team. And I think the dynamic that people should be aware of is, yes, these big tech companies are bad, but a lot of the pressure for censorship in many cases, Google is an exceptional case because it's simply an evil company. But in a lot of these tech firms, you have fairly indifferent people at the CEO level, a lot of pressure from woke people at the mid to high level, tremendous amount of pressure from NGOs. And what you're going to be seeing now, if Biden is inaugurated, you're going to see the government pressuring these tech companies to fully consolidate their censorship regime. And your viewers might know that a lot of conservatives have invoked this Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. I think one thing to point out is Section 230 is a leverage tool. And leverage tools are by their nature neutral and can be used by either side. And I anticipate if Biden becomes president, his administration will use Section 230 as a leverage tool, not to prevent censorship, but rather to bully censoring more. So that we're in for a very, very dangerous ride here.
But the negotiating position should be, we're going to break you up and we're going to start from that as our opening shot. Like
again, that's also a leverage point. So the tech companies were actually they're most scared of all the politicians. The politician that the tech companies were most scared of was Elizabeth Warren, because Elizabeth Warren was calling for, using antitrust. I'm not opposed to using antitrust, but again, that's just a leverage tool. And the tech companies considered the threat to be most credible coming from Elizabeth Warren breaking up the tech companies for left-wing reasons. And we have to remember, as much as we hate Facebook, the left hates Facebook because they blame Facebook for the election of Donald Trump still. So it's a complicated situation, and we are going to have to reevaluate our strategy, I think, to some degree, if horrifically Biden ends up being inaugurated as president, because it will be the government in this case putting additional pressure on these tech companies to snuff out what's left of a dissenting voice on the internet.
And it's probably one of the most important issues of our time. You don't have natural rights in the former fashion that you and I grew up in, when all of a sudden you can't access 90% of the population. It's just not right. All of a sudden, your natural rights are being violated by definition. So Revolver.News, anything that we didn't touch on that you want to communicate to our audience?
Well, we'll have to save that for the next talk. I hope you'll have me on next time. I'd love to talk about the role of the national security state in all of this. But until then, I encourage your listeners, go to Revolver.News. The president endorsed it as the alternative to the Drudge Report. We're covering the election fraud. We're covering the color revolution. We're covering big tech. So be sure to go to Revolver.News.
Well, Darren, keep up the good work. Stay focused, and we'll have you on very soon. Thanks so much.
You too. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA or come to our massive event in Palm Beach, it's tpusa.com/SAS. Thanks so much, everybody. Talk to you soon. God bless.